From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Wednesday, May 17th. Coming up, graduate employees at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign have assured that they'll get a historic increase in wages with a new contract. That story from Illinois Student Newsroom's Julia Uman in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Pending regulatory approval, OSF Healthcare will reopen the birthing center at its Danville Hospital, while its facility in Urbana will close. The center in Danville closed last October, citing staff shortages. But OSF Urbana President J.T. Barnhart says the need for obstetrics care is greater in Danville.
It's definitely needed for our team here, our team that has been staffing our labor and delivery program, to be realigned, reallocated to Sacred Heart and Danville to be able to reestablish that program. From a need perspective, it just made the most sense.
Even with the closing of the center in Urbana, the Champaign-Urbana area will still have a surplus of patient beds at Carl Hospital and Gibson Area Hospital for labor and delivery. Meanwhile, patients who wish to stay within OSF Hospital will be directed to Sacred Heart in Danville and St. Joseph in Bloomington. Advocates yesterday urged Illinois lawmakers to expand a public health insurance program for low-income immigrants before the spring legislative session is scheduled to end this week. Kristen Schorsch reports.
Illinois has a unique health insurance program for immigrant and undocumented adults who otherwise are not eligible for coverage. Today, advocates rallied to expand the program for people as young as 19. Patrick Stanley is with Rush University Medical Center.
As a social worker and as community health workers, promotoras, all of us who are here, we see constantly the people who are not covered, the people who fall through the cracks.
Advocates argue having health insurance prevents people from getting sick and winding up in expensive hospital emergency rooms. But critics say the effort is too expensive. Advocates estimate the latest expansion would initially cost $200 million a year. The state's estimate is nearly double that. Kristen Schorsch.
The Illinois Supreme Court heard arguments yesterday in the state's appeal of a downstate judge's ruling against the assault-style weapons ban that took effect this year. A Macon County judge ruled the law violates equal protection and other clauses in the Illinois Constitution. Gun rights advocates sued the state, arguing the law restricts ordinary citizens, but not law enforcement and others, from owning high-powered firearms. State Attorney General Kwame Raoul's office defended the ban yesterday, arguing the exempt groups have special training. Raoul said after the hearing that public safety is the issue.
People use these type of weapons to commit mass shootings. There's a rational basis to say that we don't want a proliferation of assault weapons out there because we're losing lives.
An attorney for the plaintiffs told justices the case is about equal protection and Second Amendment rights. Unusually dry conditions were partly to blame for a dust storm that led to a traffic pileup on I-55 in early May. State climatologist Trent Ford says a lack of rain in April resulted in several inches of dry topsoil. But overall, Illinois springs are getting wetter.
Projections of total rainfall are, they can come with uncertainty for sure, but the models are most consistent, most confident in projecting continued increases in spring precipitation.
Ford says dust storms in Illinois are likely to remain rare. But precautions like traffic advisories during dry, windy weather could help keep drivers safe in the future. Still to come, we'll hear about how graduate employees at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign got a historic increase in wages during contract negotiations. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Discover the story of the largest freshwater ecosystem in the world in the new nature special, Niagara Falls. Scientists and naturalists show us a complex world forged by stone and powered by water. In this realm, we discover tiny shrews hunting in freezing rivers, shorebird migrations, snowy owls stalking prey from ice floes, and prehistoric snapping turtles on dangerous overland journeys. Watch this and other nature specials as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. In March, graduate employees at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign cemented a historical wage increase with a new contract. Illinois Student Newsroom's Julia Uman has more.
Show me what On a rainy Friday evening, members of the Graduate Employees Organization chanted, "This is what community looks like," after their 26th and final bargaining session came to a close. After nearly a year of back and forth with the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, they were able to secure a new contract that includes higher wages, more comprehensive health care, and various fee waivers. The contract passed with 98% approval from membership on March 28th. Major changes include a 25% increase of minimum wage over the next 4 years, including retroactive payment for 2022. According to the GEO, this is the highest wage increase for graduate employees at the university ever. Carla Sanabria Vayas is the co-president of the GEO and has been a master's student at the university since 2019. She says that the last year of negotiations taught her that community is the most foundational part of organizing.
When you have a community of people that not only shows you that we are powerful and they fear our power, but most importantly shows you that even though it may be very fearful to stand up for myself and my employer, the most beautiful thing is that you're not going to do it alone.
Sanabria Vayas says more than 150 graduate employees from every department showed up at the last bargaining session in support of the GEO. Addie Connor is a board member of the university's chapter of the Young Democratic Socialists of America and has frequently collaborated with the GEO. She says she's worked alongside graduate employees at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts for the past 2 years.
They're married, they have kids, they have things that they need to take care of, so they need like good health insurance, they need child care, they need enough money to pay for family expenses, stuff like that.
Christine Riordan is an assistant professor at the university's School of Labor and Employment Relations. Over the last 20 years, she says the National Labor Relations Board has waffled about whether graduate workers should be considered employees or students. She says their legal classification as employees grants them greater negotiating power.
Things like pay, like benefits, the number of hours they can work, those are all important things for grad students to be able to have input into. And the right to do so has not always been protected by the law.
But not all graduate students are pro-union. Bhavika Kagarthi, a bioengineering master's student at the university, is one of those student workers. She says she doesn't feel the union fully represents her needs, and it's not worth the membership fee. Moreover, she says she's always felt fairly compensated.
At least in the bioe department, I feel like it's very equivalent how much time it takes to have a part-time job. Most of us TAs don't ever work more than 10 hours a week, and our professors are like extremely flexible.
The new contract is in effect until 2026. In addition to higher wages, other major changes include increased paid parental leave time and greater healthcare coverage for dependents. University spokesperson Robin Kaler said in an email the university is proud of the agreement they've been able to reach with the union. Sanabria Vayas, the union's co-president, says she's happy with the agreement too, but that there's always going to be room for improvement. I'm Julia Heumann, Illinois Student Newsroom.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 76 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Jim Meadows, Kristen Schorsch, Mawa Iqbal, Sarah Nardi, and Julia Heumann. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Owen Henderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.